This is The Headline with Brandon Waltons, bringing you the biggest stories from across Texas. The Headline gives you the news you need to be an informed citizen.
Hello, everybody. Happy Friday. Thank you for joining us on The Headline here at Texas Scorecard. I'm Brandon Waltons, the managing editor of Texas Scorecard. And this week's headline, taxpayer-funded lobbying. If you checked out our stories this week, you could not avoid it, as taxpayer-funded lobbying, specifically banning the practice, continues to gain a lot of momentum ahead of the legislative session. Now, earlier this week, we started it off in the Texas House. You had Representative Mays Middleton filing his bill to ban the practice. Representative Middleton filed the bill last year and was ultimately voted down on the floor of the House. Likewise, you had State Senator Bob Hall also filing companion legislation identical to stop the practice in 2021. He filed that. We're going to speak with him in just a few minutes. But first, taxpayer-funded lobbying. You know, what is it, right? If you're not familiar, we all know this is where taxpayer funds are being used right now to local governments, county governments, are being used to go down to the state and to go lobby against interests that even the taxpayers might enjoy. I'll give you an example. Last session, when property tax reform was being discussed, you had countless taxpayer-funded lobbyists coming down to Austin, flooding the Capitol, and trying to kill legislation that would ultimately cut, what? The property taxes of the citizens. And that's right, you paid for it. It's an egregious situation. No wonder, then, that an overwhelming amount, over 90% of Texas Republicans earlier this year, voted in a referendum that they wanted to ban the practice. It's why for the last two legislative sessions, the Republican Party of Texas has held banning taxpayer-funded lobbying as one of their legislative priorities. You know, an interesting story earlier this week, Robert Montoya wrote about it. We'll drop it in the comments if you're watching here on Facebook, where the city of Dallas, not exactly known to be a conservative bastion, actually due to, in part, to citizen pressure, did not expand their taxpayer-funded lobbying representation going into this next session, actually saving taxpayers a little bit of money. Now, they didn't wind back the whole program. They hired their old lobbyists back, but at least they didn't expand it. And this is due in part because of the citizen pressure, and especially at a time when dealing with Chinese coronavirus mandates, business lockdowns, folks are struggling, and they don't want to see their taxpayer dollars being used for these purposes. Also this week, you had a Senate hearing, an interim hearing, where they met in the Capitol. Now, I'll tell you, they met in the Capitol. There weren't citizens actually allowed to come. It was invited testimony only over video conferencing. But they met there in part to discuss ending taxpayer-funded lobbying. One of the people in attendance there was State Senator Bob Hall. At that meeting, Senator Hall announced that he had filed legislation to end the practice. Senator Hall was successful in getting it out of the Senate last session. So I sat down with him earlier this morning to ask him what he thinks the chances are of it this session, what sort of obstacles he is expecting. And also asked him, stick around, I asked him what he thinks about the Capitol reopening, if that's going to happen. I think his answer will surprise you. Check it out.
Well, banning taxpayer-funded lobbying is set to be one of the big issues the legislature addresses when it reconvenes in January. Joining me right now, one of the authors of a bill to actually ban and end the practice of taxpayer-funded lobbying, State Senator Bob Hall. Senator, thank you so much for joining this morning.
Thank you for having me, and particularly with this topic, which I think is one of the more important ones that we'll be addressing this next session.
It's a topic we're certainly hearing a lot about, and you've actually filed legislation this week to ban the practice. Why did you file the bill? Why are you against taxpayer-funded lobbying?
Well, nothing has changed. We filed it last time for the same reason we did now. It's just it's the wrong thing to allow to happen. You got to remember, the primary purpose of government is to protect the people. And the anchor of government is the state. I mean, as you well know, the states form the federal government and the states form the local governments. And it's our duty to make sure that those governments, when they're operating, do not violate individual rights and the liberty of people. And what they're doing with using taxpayer money to hire people to go to Austin and to lobby against things we're trying to pass that benefit the citizens or protects them in some way, gives them back their rights that the cities have tried to take away from them, or have are excessively burdening them with regulations and taxes, where they've overstepped what they should be doing in serving the people. And that's the thing that happens. We have just too many people who get elected to office and they think they've been given a position of control, because government is not there to control the people. Government is there to serve the people. But they have this feeling that they have to issue regulation after regulation, tell people when they can cut their trees down, whether they can have chickens in their yard, and things of that nature, and then blindside them with very fuzzy wording on ballots for bonds that nobody can figure out what it is, except it's a whole really big number. And they'll cleverly throw, you know, words in there like it's for the children, or we have to do this, or the world will come to an end. Mm-hmm. And so people will buy into it, believing that those elected officials just wouldn't do anything that wasn't absolutely necessary. And so we see these, and so we step up and say, okay, that's not the role of how local government should be using taxpayer money to do stuff.
Sure. And we remember, of course, I mean, last session with property tax reform is one example where you had taxpayer funded lobbyists, people from local governments, actually they're testifying against the bill. Almost all of the, I think the testimony against the property tax reform legislation that time was from people like taxpayer funded lobbyists and local officials who had a say. One of the things that opponents to this bill often say, and I think, you know, somebody said it during the interim hearing earlier this week, the interim committee hearing, is that if we ban taxpayer funded lobbying, local officials just won't be able to have their voices heard and won't be able to represent their constituents. What do you say to that?
Absolutely not true. Matter of fact, it will give them provide them with an opportunity to have more to say, because as we talked about in that hearing, when I get a phone call from an elected official to talk about an issue, I listen to them, because they're not calling me unless they have a good reason to, and they may have a different viewpoint on something, but they are at the heart of it. And I listen to them because I know I don't know everything about every bill and every unintended consequence. And so when someone like that, a particularly elected official, calls and it says, you know, this is what this bill is going to do to us, I listen to that and then weigh it in the decision later on. If a lobbyist calls me, I have no idea whether they truly are representing the cities within my district, or whether they're representing a big city that's going to be and trying to sell something that's going to be burdensome to a small city, or vice versa. And so I am all, and every other legislator I've talked to has basically said the same. I can't speak for them, but I have seen no opposition, as a matter of fact, encouragement that this will bring to allow our local elected officials to actually communicate more directly with us. And if they should happen to travel to Austin, it would not prevent them from being reimbursed for their expenses of coming down here. That's another one of the lies that organizations out there that benefit greatly from taxpayer-funded lobbying have put out.
Sure. And your bill specifically that you filed, obviously you have taxpayer-funded lobbies where the city, county hires a specific lobbyist, they give them a big contract and they send them down. We've also got an issue where you've got some organizations like the Texas Association of Counties, Texas Municipal League, Texas Association of School Boards, that a lot of other, a lot of people have lumped in with that as well. Does your bill address those as well?
What it addresses is the lobbying aspect of it. It does not prevent the counties from using associations like that for education, for services, for their insurance policies, or anything like that. it just is really pointed. If they're going to receive taxpayer money, then they can't be lobbying for things. They can provide information. They can provide education for elected officials. They can find a platform for dialogue on things back and forth between them. They just can't come to Austin and lobby the legislature for those issues. But those services that they currently use, they'll still be available to them.
We've seen in the past when this bill has been discussed in the Texas legislature, some lawmakers say, well, this is just an urban issue. Let's take rural counties out of it. Let's set a population gap or something like that. Do you think this is just an urban issue, or do rural taxpayers as well deserve this protection?
I think, we way too often try to divide things up. They're all citizens. If you live out in a county that's like what I do, that has a population of barely over 50,000, these folks out here have every right to have their tax dollars protected as much as those that live in the big city. I don't see that this should be, because nothing has changed with regards to those smaller counties using these organizations to get information, to get services, to get education, training. All of that can still, they need it, and that's fine. They can do that. But the citizens have the same right to have their money not being used against them. Mm-hmm.
Your bill passed the Texas Senate in 2019, last year, ultimately got hung up in the House. We've also got the House bill being filed again by State Representative Mays Middleton. Do you think the bill has a better chance of making it to the governor's desk this session?
Yes, I do. I think it has a much better chance. Matter of fact, Representative Middleton, myself, we have filed the same bill. We're companion bills. I've talked with him about it. I believe you heard some of the support in the Senate that took place in the hearing, which I think is pretty representative of the Senate. And I think there was a lot of, this was one of those bills in which the opposition to it was very, very heavy. You got to remember, these organizations that do this have lots of money and lots of influence, and they were very loud in what they did last time in misrepresenting. I gathered from talking to people afterwards that the reason they were opposing it was based on some of the lies, the things that were just not true about the bill. And so we got defeated over there because they believed that elected officials would be prohibited from talking to their elected officials in Austin. That's just not true. But that was one of the arguments they used it. Or if they traveled to Austin, they'd have to pay for it out of their own pocket. Well, that was a lie. I mean, it just went on and on. So I think because it was defeated based on the lies being told about it, mm-hmm. and now we had the opportunity to better educate people that this is a bill that serves the people of Texas and is actually beneficial to them, that it's going to stand a much better chance. I think we have leadership is forming over there that I think is going to be much more sensitive to serving the people of Texas than what we've seen in the past.
You said it yourself. This is you're going up against some really big powers in passing this bill. What can citizens do to help out?
I make sure that their representative in Austin know that they know that this is one of the Republican Party's priority items, and it got passed overwhelmingly every time it's been put up with the people that suffer as a result of what's being done, and to let them know that they want this to end. Just like the other bills that we're able to pass, in which we, the property tax relief bill SB2 last time, and some of the others that didn't pass because of the same kind of misinformation, but they need to let them know that they are fully supportive of this.
And one last question, I get this question asked a lot, I'm sure you do as well. Session is just about a month away. Is the Capitol going to be open? Do you know?
Yes. I will give you my opinion, and it's good for the moment I give it.
Yeah.
I do think we'll have the Capitol open. I think the argument against it is growing weaker every day, because we started out with it not being opened at all. And then the discussion was around it being opened with appointments only. And then it moved to, well, maybe 200 people and then maybe 500. And now the discussion is unlimited, but we'll be doing testing. But I do think that as the evidence continues to grow, showing that testing healthy people is an absolute total waste of time, and that even at a 94% accuracy, you cannot provide any kind of a surety to someone. Mm-hmm. And you couple that with the growing acceptance for pre-treatment or early treatment of the COVID that's now coming out with over-the-counter drugs and other drugs that have been around, like ivermectin and doxycycline and some of the others, that this, and the fact that 71% of the deaths in Texas have been of people 65 and over with at least one or more comorbidities, that the acceptance of prophylactic treatment, an early intervention treatment where people just barely even get sick, may change it. And so the question somebody raised the other day, well, if you're going to test for COVID, why aren't we testing for TB and Ebola and HIV and all the other things that are contagious that people could bring that are actually more serious in causing deaths than the COVID? So hopefully we will soon be moving to a society that goes on the offense against it, and we can open the Capitol completely.
Absolutely. We'll be watching that closely, and we'll be watching your bill as well. Thank you so much for joining this morning.
Thank you for having me. And God bless you guys for the good work you do for the people of Texas.
Thank you.
Well, thank you again to Senator Bob Hall for joining us this morning. And like I said, we're going to be following that legislation by him, following that legislation by Representative Mays Middleton, and frankly, anybody else who wants to file this. Now, remember, there's no law, there's no rule barring that a single topic can only be filed by one member. And so, now's the time to be contacting your lawmakers if this is an issue you support about and letting them know how you feel, especially with the legislative session just a month away. Isn't that wild? I mean, it's January 12th. 2021, they're going to be coming back, and we're going to see. We're going to see if the Capitol is going to be open. We're going to see what sort of rules they set up. I found it interesting. Senator Bob Hall says right now he thinks that the Capitol will be open. We won't hold it against him if he's wrong, but I don't know. We'll find out. Again, another issue that citizens who care about this can certainly be making their voices heard to their lawmakers right now. I want to thank everybody for watching us right now. If you're watching live on Facebook, hi to Carrie in Dallas. Tiffany watching from Deer Park. Always nice to have you on. Anthony watching from Ace, Texas. Joel Starnes tuning in as well. Amanda from Delta County. Everybody else in there. I saw some great comments going on. Great discussion. Please keep the discussion going. Drop it in the comments. If you like the video, if you like the interview with Senator Hall, please share it so your friends, your neighbors can all know what they need to be doing as we approach the legislative session here in January. Well, that's going to be all for us this morning on this taxpayer-funded lobbying edition of The Headline. I'm Brandon Waltons. Thank you so much for joining us, and have a great weekend.
Thank you for listening to The Headline from Texas Scorecard. We're live every Friday at 11 a.m. on the Texas Scorecard Facebook page to talk about the biggest stories of the week, so check us out there or listen to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, whatever platform you prefer. And while you're there, you can also check out the ever-growing line of podcasts and programming provided by Texas Scorecard.